Instigators.
Today, the home organization and its fans get a chance to celebrate the career of Jason Pominville.
Eichel, far corner to the right of the Ottawa goal. Skinner, quick shot, rebound, Pominville got that one. 3-0, Buffalo. Middle step to Reinhardt, spins it up from Skinner. Cue the horn. 4-0, Buffalo. Trying to spin away from coverage, he's on the left wing side. Takes a look, bounces one to the front of the net, scores. Jason Pominville. This is Pionk from the point, tipped just wide, actually hit the pad of Hutton and then off the end boards. Nemestikov sends it across, ice, scores! But the Rangers come back. And just on their sixth shot of the game, they take a 1-0 lead. Here's VC, scores! Smith trying to play to hit, here's an open end chance, scores! Second chance by Connor Sherry. Eichel on his backhand. Pass doesn't get to Skinner. Empty net chance, and they don't miss. With 1:51 to go in the third period, it's now 3-1 New York.
Oh, so much. I got lost in that. Literally all those goals and the highlights over the weekend. Saturday was amazing. Sunday, not so much. Andrew, Craig, Marty, Tuesday, Instigator. So much to talk about, fellas. I mean, let's be honest. Riv has a case of the Tuesdays, and it feels like a Monday, but there's a lot going on. We were just served a silver platter topic, too, by the way. Opening
many silver platter
and
topics.
Riv missed his cue. We talked about this. You obviously were.
Yeah, you're not paying attention, Rivs, obviously.
I didn't have an opportunity, but I'll do it right now.
It was nice to see you showed up, Riv.
I mean, Joel Quenneville, one of the longest-standing coaches. His resume is just absolutely incredible. They're 6-6-3, but on a five-game losing streak, and the Chicago Blackhawks make the decision to relieve Joel Quenneville of his duties in Chicago.
I thought you were going to mention John Stevens first, because he was the first coach fired.
And you know what?
It's funny. We've talked about both of these guys in the last couple of weeks.
Well, especially, I think that LA, you had to see it was coming.
Yeah.
And if you look at the timing, LA's in the middle of, home game stand. So if you're going to make a move, it's the time, because then you give your coach, your new coach, a chance to practice and be at home. You don't want to do it when all of a sudden you got four of the next six games on the road. And Chicago is the same thing. They had a 4 or 5 days in between games. They had the day off yesterday. They get back to work this morning and they're being told, hey, you have a new coach. So now they have like 3 days of practice with a new coach before starting over. So I think timing when you fire a coach is everything, because, you know, performance could lead to one, but those two situations tells me that, you know, it was in the back of the general manager's mind. It was in the back of Rob Blake's mind to fire John Stevens for a couple weeks now. Probably in the back of Stan Bowman's mind to let go of Coach Q.
So Saturday, the Sabres rolled the Senators 9-2. They lost Sunday 3-1 to the Rangers. They play Thursday against Riv's alma mater in Montreal at 7:30 at the Bell Center. But we have a few days before that. We'll recap everything from the Sabres. We are going to talk about the Uber ride for the Ottawa Senators and that whole mess. I think we have a very interesting perspective, you know, from that seat, and now being in the media, being former players. I look forward to this conversation, because we've kept it bottled up like pickles, eh, boys? We've just been getting sour.
We were put in three different rooms this morning.
Yeah, we've been put
and we were not allowed to get out until the show started.
JJ locked us each in three different rooms and said, prepare
so
on your own.
So we wouldn't be able to talk
about
it.
So 11 o'clock, we'll talk Uber rides and some of the crap that we used to say. I am so happy that there were not cell phone cameras, and they were just coming around when I was leaving the game. But I'll tell you what, that's a story for another day. But let's be honest. So Joel Quenneville. Hey.
Okay.
No. No. Marty, go ahead, Marty. Go.
I remember one year we so cameras were starting to appear in some of the clubs and some of the bars, you know, and then they would put them there online. So if you were home and you were like, oh, I want to go to this place, I'm going to go online and look at the video of everything. And we were at this place called The Rack in Boston. It was a pool hall, kind of club, pool hall, whatever. And some of the guys found out that the rack actually broadcasts online cameras from the place. And yeah, some of the guys ran out the door really quickly because they didn't want to be caught on video hanging out. Like, you know, it was not
What team were you on?
With Buffalo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was early in my career.
What year was
this?
That
was before you. So, you know, but it was one of those where it may have been 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. We had a game the next day. It's not super late. We're just watching, like, college football on TV, playing some pool.
You're trying to put, you know, like, you know, the eight ball in the side pocket, and you're, you know, like, you're, you know. Like
I'm trying to clean house. I'm trying to make money here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hustling at pool. And then all of a sudden, guys are like, guys, we got to go. Like, why? Well, they have cameras in here, and, you know, coach will find out. And maybe some of them weren't.
And imagine if that had been broadcast or published, huh? Like, imagine what kind of, you know, storm that would have created. Okay, so back to hockey.
11 o'clock, we'll talk about it.
11 o'clock, Uber rides, cab rides, our thoughts, everything about everything right and wrong that happened with the Ottawa Senators. Little incident in the cab. It just seems like the poor Senators, they just continue to just like dumpster
Don't
fire.
They say three times the charm.
So what?
Well, this is like, you know, number
no,
nine.
No, there's the Melnick meltdown. There's the Carlson Hoffman thing, and now this one. So three times the charm.
You missed something. Assistant GM.
Assistant GM. Yeah,
well, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it does that count. That does count. That puts a blunder on your organization and what they're trying to do.
That's four times the charm. What about fifth times the charm?
How about the trade that they made with Matt Duchene? They give away the world, and then they're going to be giving away their first round draft pick this year, which is going to be probably a pretty good pick to Colorado. I mean, there's so much going on that it's off the chart.
All right.
Fifth time's a charm. Six times a charm.
Well, you wonder if any coaches will be around in next. You wonder if Joel Quenneville could be the next coach in Ottawa, maybe if that video has any effect on stuff.
We'll talk about that
at 11 o'clock. I don't know that I'm surprised that Quenneville is let go, but I mean, I don't necessarily feel like it's warranted. But Riv, you made a point. Players need to change. There's a lot of players that have been there for about a decade now. Players need to change. Sometimes the coach himself just needs a change, and you know, things just run stale in a locker room. You're counting how many years he's been there?
He's been there 10 years. I mean, that's a he's.
Where's he at? Three.
He's
cups?
Had nine. He's been there 10 years. He's missed the playoff once. He's had nine playoff appearances. He's had three Stanley Cup champs. I mean, he's been there, done that, and I just think sometimes collectively for both sides, for Joel Quenneville and the Chicago Blackhawks, sometimes you just need a new voice, a new facelift that will spark the team, because you're going to, like, if you know anything about this Jeremy Coalition, what can you tell me about him?
His last name's Colleton.
Carlton.
Great.
Coalition.
Great. If that's what you want to call him, I'll Carlton.
Good start for the guy.
I'll tell you this. I've never heard of him. He's 33 years old. He's younger than a few of the players on the team. He is a very, very young
You're thinking
young
of the minor
right
hockey
now.
Organization, the Coalition.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Anyway, I played against this guy. I don't remember him as a player, to be quite honest with you. I remember his name in and out, and I think his years in the league you know, will indicate that. But he's young.
Like, super crazy.
Totally
young.
Different.
33 years old as an NHL.
It's a fresh face. And you got to think, right? Like, did you just say that he's younger than some of the players?
He's 33, youngest NHL coach right now.
Yeah. And I think that's – I'm going to tell you something. That, to me, is the way the game should be going. Younger coaches, guys that can relate to the players. A guy that played in the NHL in 2005, 2006, played some games in 07, 08, some games in 08, 09. He played 15 games in the NHL in 2010, 11. He's not that far removed. X's and O's aside, learning how to manage a team, manage superstar egos, that's something he'll have to learn. But the mindset, right – the mindset that these players can have, he's a younger, probably a, you want to use the word hipper, a more hip maybe personality for these players, a guy that Patrick Kane can relate to. You know, like he could say, hey, I remember dangling you when you were with the Islanders, or I remember, you know what I mean? Like just stuff like that.
I can tell you this. I think that was the wrong time and the wrong decision for the Chicago Blackhawks. They missed the playoffs how many times in 10 years?
One.
And what is the main reason for that missed playoffs? Goalie.
Goaltending.
Goaltending was not there. Corey Crawford got hurt in December. They missed the playoffs. What has been the biggest issue to start the season this year? Goaltending. Corey Crawford just got back. Cam Ward has got a .393 and an .880 save percentage. Okay? Corey Crawford just got back. He can't play every game. You're going to have to work him into it. So over this five-game losing streak, you know, yeah, Crawford has probably played two, I think I looked, and Ward has played, Crawford's played three, Ward's played two, I think. But Crow's the guy that's going to get to right the ship, that's going to stabilize
things,
everything,
yeah.
You know. And so you're not giving Coach Q the chance to get all the
But maybe it's not about that, Marty. Maybe it's just about right now where we all know that, you know, Joel Quenneville is one of the greatest coaches to ever coach in the National Hockey League. It's undeniable. His resume of hockey knowledge from Olympics to World Championships to Stanley Cups, he has done it all, been there, done that. But at what point in time for an organization – do you just need a new change? And I think that having new change, and Andrew brought up an awesome point. The guys that they fired also on the assistant coaches were Kevin Dineen.
Yeah.
Pretty knowledgeable guy, played in the league for a very long time.
Unbelievable coach.
And Ulf Samuelsson. These guys, these two assistant coaches that they let go are two guys that have been around for a very long time. Joel Quenneville, they wanted a complete coaching change. They wanted a new facelift. They're going to bring in this young guy who's 33 years old. That's younger than players that are actually on the team. Now he's not dealing with the Rockford Ice Hogs. He's dealing with guys making $10.5 million, and he's going to have personalities that he's going to have to manage and deal with. It's going to be not difficult, but it's going to be a learning experience for this guy. But I'm going to tell you right now, they must see something that they really like in him.
I get that. I totally understand.
And you know what? This is a time for this organization.
Look at what Pittsburgh did. Twice they fired. Twice they had teams that were good enough to go to the finals and win, but they were teetering. The one year, the first time they won, you know, they were out of the playoffs. When the year before, I think they were in the finals. They fired their coach. They bring in Bielsma. They win. You know, they did it again. They did it again when they brought in the new guy.
I mean,
they
when
have
they
there.
Fired Bielsma, what happened?
They brought
in a young guy.
And they went and won.
No. No. There was a guy between Bielsma and Mike Sullivan.
Who was it?
That was that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Johnson. Mike
Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
They brought a
That's
young
right.
guy.
No,
and
he's not
it
a young
failed.
Guy.
No, they fired. Yeah, but they fired
no,
Mike Johnson.
Guy.
And then,
Mike
but
Johnson?
They fired Mike Johnson in the middle of the season.
Mike Johnson was like 50-something.
No, he was not 50-something.
Yeah,
he was.
Might have, I don't know how old he is, but he might have been in his 40s. He was younger.
But still,
I mean,
my point is that, okay, so you fire a guy like Joel Quenneville. It's not the organization that fires Joel Quenneville. Joel Quenneville says, I am done. It's like Scotty Bowman. And I know that people are going to say, whoa. Scotty Bowman is on his own pedestal up there. But Joel Quenneville is in the same category to me as to what Scotty Bowman was for Detroit, you know, and then you talk about the assistant refs. Kevin Dineen was a really good coach in the American League.
Mike Johnson, 61 years old.
Well, he was older.
He's 61?
I remember him good. Because I can't remember how
anyway,
I know him.
But my point is Kevin Dineen was really good when he was with Portland, right? He coached the American League affiliate for the Sabres in Portland.
My brother
then
played
went to
for
Florida.
Him. Loved him.
He was really good in Florida. Then coached the women's Canadian Olympic team and won gold medal. He's been in Chicago. He's a kind of guy that he's been rumored with all the opening of coaches. And he says, no, I'm staying with Coach Q. I'm staying with Ulf Samuelsson. We had Ulfie in New York for a little bit. He was really good. I loved him as an assistant coach.
Yeah.
So you're not just letting go of Joel Quenneville. You're letting go of a really, really good coaching staff.
Yes, you are.
Who has been handcuffed because their goaltender was dealing with post-concussion syndrome.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these issues that come with it. So
But again, it's
I
not,
think it's
I
don't
not,
like the move.
It's not about the accolades of these of these men. I mean, Samuelson, Kevin Dineen are great NHL players. They played a long time. Joel Quenneville is one of the greatest coaches ever. That coaching staff is like a dream team. It's very, very high end. That being said, they want to change. They need a new change, a fresh face, and they brought in a young whippersnipper that's 33 years old that's going to bring, like Petey said, a completely different look at everything. How that player is going to treat the players differently, how he's going to run his his team. Just
interact with the guys.
Be
able to relate with them. Like I feel like the older coaches, I understand, I appreciate and respect the knowledge that they bring. But there's just such a separation in the age gap. It's not the old days where, you know, like just because he's your elder, you respect him. I mean, there's such an age gap and the difference of these kids nowadays. Like, and, you know, they have DeBrinket on their team. Like, what is he? He's 20 what? 21 maybe? Yeah. 22?
20.
20? If, okay. Yep. So they have some other young players.
No, he's 22.
He's still a kid, right? I mean, yeah. I know when we're 22, we think we're like grown men and we're mature, but he's still a kid playing video games. I mean, these coaches, they just don't get it.
Turns 21 on December, December 18th.
So he was a late birthday. And
I do like this move, and I've always been one to say, why are we recycling old blood? It's almost like we feel like we're afraid to miss the boat on a guy. Where I'm thinking to myself, nowadays. Forget about it's not as much to me X's and O's. You got to get your players to love your coach and just have them go out and play hard for you. That simple as that. They got to be able to relate. They got to be able to communicate.
You better be sure when you fire Coach Q that you have the right guy coming in.
Look at the Ottawa Senators video. That right there basically indicates to me that there is no communication between the players and the coaching.
That's a different situation. And it
is a different situation.
Listen, do you think the guys in Toronto don't talk about my Babcock that way? We'll talk at 11 o'clock about this.
Of course they do.
It could be the best team. It could be teams that win the Stanley Cup. It doesn't matter. But look at what the Sabres did. So the Sabres, when they let go of Lindy Ruff years ago, who came in?
Well, you know what I'm going to tell you?
Who came in?
Ron Rolston.
Ron Rolston, USA Hockey Ron Rolston. A new, different approach Ron Rolston. A younger guy that will have... And it completely went...
You know what? And that's not Ron Rolston's fault. Ron Rolston, at that time, was not even close to being the right guy for the job. And say what you want, like him or not. I know you guys did, but... James Patrick, I'm talking, was right there. And that was an opportunity to see what Jeep had as a head coach. You know, there were times where he had to take over for Lindy and the team played really well under him. That would have been a great opportunity. Yeah. There were other
Jeep
guys
was not
available.
A head coach.
He might not have been a head
He's
coach.
Not a head coach.
But you didn't have to rush a guy from Rochester who was just getting his feet wet in pro hockey to the NHL. That is setting a guy up for failure. And that I have no beef with Ron Rolston because he was put in the worst of situations.
What about this guy? Three years ago, he was coaching second division in Sweden.
Who? Who are we talking about?
A new guy in Chicago. Rushing it? Are you put him in the best situation to succeed?
Well, you know what? Here's the difference, and this is okay. And maybe I'll take some
Only
criticism
time will
for the
tell.
Comment.
Only time
but
will tell.
This
but
guy
there's
played.
A lot of,
he
there's
played.
A lot of new
Jeremy
play.
Colleton played in the NHL. Jeremy Colleton knows the culture of the NHL. Ron Rolston's brother played in the NHL.
That doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach or not a good coach. Travis Green is a good coach in Vancouver. He took his time. They took his time. They let him mature. He had 2-3 seasons with Utica in the American League. Jim Montgomery, same thing. The guy has matured and has grown to the point where now he's in Dallas. There's a ton of those coaches, but rushing them and following in the footstep of a legend.
How many
is
years has
hard.
He coached?
Who?
Colleton.
Last year was his first year in the AHL.
And the year before that, he was in Sweden.
A couple of years in Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many years does it take for you to, in your opinion, mature and get enough knowledge in how to take the next step?
Well, I'm going to use a player's example. There is a few players that can come in at 18, 19, 20, and be right in there. The majority of them, You need to let them sit and grow and simmer in the minors, in the American League. The Jason Botterill's model, like to look at, you know, Nylander and Olofsson and those guys and Gouley and let them gain the experience and not rush them. And sometimes you feel like you have to make the move and it's being rushed because you have injuries, because you're making trades or whatnot, or because the situation of your team. And I think that's what this feels like for me from Chicago, is that LA fired their coach. Well, there's a coach going, because last year there was no coach fired in the season at all.
It's crazy, right?
So it's crazy. And now LA fires their coach, and now it's like everybody's thinking, should I fire my coach? How long do you think before St. Louis fires Mike Yeo with the way they're going? How long before Joel Quenneville gets hired again?
Back in St. Louis?
Exactly. Like, it's crazy, but one guy gets fired, and then everybody has that panic attack that they have to make a change
So did Carolina rush Ron Brendamore?
Well, Ron Brendamore's old.
So it's an age thing?
No. How old is he?
40.
How long was he an assistant coach in the National Hockey League?
1 year.
Was he just 1 year?
It was 1 year. And maybe two in Carolina. Okay. Now, you know, he's the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, but he's like Jared, Phil Housley.
Rod Brindamore, Jeremy Colleton. I respect your opinion because you know what? You're actually trying to help me a little bit. But it's apples and oranges. Jeremy Colleton,
Jeff Blashill in Detroit
had some serious success. And
Jared Bednar, Jim Montgomery has coached.
Jared Bednar got hired because they fired Patrick Roy quit in August. They were like, we're stuck.
Well, they might have hired this guy because maybe they said to Kevin Dineen and the other guy, like, hey, you're going to be interim coach. And they're like, we're loyal to Quenneville. We're gone.
What happened in Colorado? So Patrick quits in August, right? Patrick Roy quits in August. They're stuck. We don't have a coach. They said, well, we got to get our coach for the American League to come up. The first season in Colorado for Jared Bednar
was so bad. I understand that, but the team sucked. I mean, do you not believe that they could have sat back and taken a little bit of time and picked a different head coach than Jared Bednar? They thought that he was the right guy, just like Dallas went after Jim Montgomery, who was coaching in college.
So before we got to talk a little Sabres.
That's like Axtell in Philly. He was coaching in college, but Ron Extall went after that guy because he liked him.
Like, what about David Quinn, New York Rangers,
exactly,
John Hines? You know, there's a lot of new up and coming coaches. Travis Green,
John Hines is an
interesting
one.
Because everybody's wearing orange doesn't mean you have to go and wear orange.
And the last one I'm going to say is
JJ's jacket today. How orange that thing is!
Orange.
The last thing
JJ wears orange, you don't have to
just
because
JJ's wearing orange.
The last coach I'm going to name, and this guy got put into a situation where he was an extremely young coach in the National Hockey League, and everybody scratched their head and went, what in God's name are you thinking right now hiring this guy? And that's Paul Maurice. And he's doing a pretty good job.
Oh, that's 20 years later.
15 years later.
Yeah.
Or whatever. He's done a fantastic job.
I love Paul Maurice.
I love Paul Maurice. When he first started in Carolina, he wasn't the Paul Maurice he is now. And Chicago is not the Carolina Hurricanes. Chicago is an Original Six franchise. You cannot say, well, this coach, maybe this coach that they hired, Colton or whatever, in 20 years will be really good. But for Chicago, it's a complete different situation.
So here we go. Okay, we got to talk Sabres because they absolutely smashed the Senators, which brings me to my next question. Did they know about the video before the game, or were they out all night till 4 a.m. on Friday night here on Chippewa Street? But anyway, Colton took a quality but certainly not a powerhouse Rockford team all the way to the Western Conference Final last season. 2 years ago, he was in the Swedish second division and got his Mora team promoted to the Swedish Hockey League, the Elite Series. So what happens is
the relegation.
You win your league on the second, you go up to the top, and if the two teams at the top or the bottom, two teams in the top league that are at the bottom of the standings, they drop down. Yeah. So anyway, so that is from Patrick Williams.
Good thing that's not the NHL because we'd be in the East Coast right now.
Wow.
Which is true.
Well, okay, so then you know what? Bring us back to the game this weekend. I'll tell you this though, Marty.
Yeah.
And you'll love this.
The King
was amazing on Sunday.
Okay, listen, we can talk at Saturday. Saturday was one of those unbelievable you had to be there, and people will talk about it for a while because that is, in the last few years, how often have we had a game at home where everybody is laughing, dancing, enjoying their time, goals are going in, and it was fun, it was fast. Yeah, I mean, the Ottawa Senators are a easy prey, but still, you know, it was all good. I loved it. I was worried about the response after that. Like, you know, you lose 9-2, you are playing with a fire in your pants the next day. You are on fire. You're going. You win 9-2, and you don't have a practice the next day because, you know, you play in an afternoon game, a night game, whatever. And I was worried the Sabres were going to show up in Rangers and New York and lay an egg. And they didn't.
And
they dominated the game. The only reason they did not win that game was Henrik Lundqvist. And I texted him after the game, and he responded.
No, he didn't.
He responded.
It's got to be somebody acting as him, new number. I heard he got a new number.
I did not say to him that, what area code, 212? Well, why didn't you text me over the summer? But he just says, it was a tough game to play, but fun to get a win at home again because he hadn't won at home. But it was a tough game to play, so he's given.
He treats you like media.
No, he said other things too. But
like what?
Like he... I'm not going to say
yes, Marty,
no,
come on.
No.
That's brutal.
But anyway, basically, it's a tough game to play. Why? Because the Sabres were all over him. They were just buzzing around the net. They, you know, they had chances. They missed on so many great opportunities.
Well, here's the reality of it. You know, and Marty and I talked about this. Was it right after the game?
I don't know. Did we text?
We were,
yesterday? Did we talk about it last night at Harbor Center?
Yes. And you basically alluded to they played amazing, they won the game, this and that. And here's the thing. If I was the coach of a youth hockey team, I would go in there and say, guys, it's not about the win. It's about developing. It's about getting better. It's about, I love the way you played. Don't worry about the score. Here's the thing. We're in the National Hockey League. It's about 2 points.
Yeah.
And how many did they get? None. So I'm going to tell you right now, they got to find ways to win hockey games.
You know what was going on? You know what was going on Sunday in New York? Sunday morning? It was the New York City Marathon. Okay?
Okay.
There's 82 games in a season.
Oh.
Okay?
Yep.
So you may run a very nice part of the marathon, but you know, you may be like, I'm feeling good. It's good. It's good. It's good. And you get there and the results are not what you want. But you keep going the same way, and you'll get it over the long term.
Sure.
That's exactly.
Sure you will.
No, I don't care. In a marathon, if you run like 7 really good miles and you still don't meet your time that you want, I mean,
yeah, but
you failed.
You know what I'm saying. It is not about one game. It's about 82.
I'm the guy talking about running a marathon and failing.
Exactly. I am definitely going to fail if I run a marathon. But listen, that's what it is. You play great. Like, come on. You're going to go.
Play great. They play great, but I'm going to tell you right now,
you know,
everybody in the National
everybody
in the National Hockey League's beating up on the Rangers, taking points, going, ha, ha, this is great, we're going to play the Rangers.
Yeah, but you got stopped by
points.
A legend, man.
Oh, come on.
Okay,
stop,
you
put the puck in the net.
I think
we need wins.
Okay,
we need wins.
What you're doing here. I see your mood. We see what you're doing. Here comes this. Look at the smile. You know, you see, got those dimples coming up at the side, and your cheek. You have deep dimples. You're getting red, and now your face is up. You're smiling, and you want to pretend.
We
like
are
going to
complain after the last few years that we've had with the Sabres about playing really well in New York, outchancing them 2-1, outshooting them 2-1, out attempting them 2-1. And
we even said at the start of the year before the puck dropped, though I feel like we're attacking you, but
before
the puck dropped, you're going to lose games, but it's how you lose them. You're going to lose games that you deserve to win, not lose games the way they've lost games in the past. You know, like even that Ottawa game on the road, they were down, but they still came back and made it a game. Every game that they've been down, they have not folded the tent. And maybe the Colorado game. Well, you know,
the one where they gave up in the last 5 minutes.
And I think they learned a valuable lesson from that. They exposed the way they let their goaltender down, and they probably learned that they're never going to do that again. So I feel like you've been schooled, Mr. Rive. We'll take
no school here, brother. I'm going to tell you right now, the Rangers suck, and we need to feast on the teams that are behind us. If there was a team that was ahead of us,
they've won three in a row, right?
And we played that game, then I would be okay with. We got to take care of business with the teams behind us. That's the only way you're going to have a chance of making the playoffs.
Hold on a sec here, before we go to break, I got to do this.
The Rangers were just coming back from the road. They won. They beat Anaheim. They beat San Jose.
Matt Zuccarello, Chris Kreider, forget Brett Howden, Jimmy Vesey, Jesper Fast, Brady Shea, Kevin Hayes, Namestnikov, Kevin Shattenkirk, Henrik Lundqvist, Mark Stahl. That's not a brutal team.
That's not a really good team.
It's not a great team.
That's not a good team. But what happened, they had a brick wall in front of the net and they couldn't score. That's the difference.
It's not a horrendous team.
The Sabres are better than
the
Rangers.
Was amazing.
The Sabres are better than the Rangers. And it was one of those where the goalie just stood on his head.
And we lost 2 points. We lost 2 points.
When they win, it's we. When they lose, it's they. Haven't you learned this yet?
When I'm driving my son home, okay, after a practice last night, and he's freaking out in the back seat, and I just about drove off the road because apparently Joe Armia scored in a shootout. He cheers for Montreal. He's a Montreal Canadian. I played there for a long time. But I'm going to tell you right now, I enjoy being a Buffalo Sabres fan.
Absolutely.
And when I see the team playing well, I love this. I love the development of our team. I love the direction it's going in. But we need wins.
I know.
Want to make the playoffs.
What do you have going on tonight?
When you are losing to a team that you should beat, that is not going to sit well.
What do you have going on tonight?
Lots.
I was going to say, let's get together. Let's watch the Canadians play the Rangers and see what's going on there. Let's talk about it.
Scout for Thursday. Scout.
We don't have Sabres games until Thursday. You know, let's get together. See if the Rangers are that bad a team. See if the Canadians are that bad a team. What's happening there?
Well, the Canadians are going to be a different team because we won't be playing Niemi. We'll be playing Carey Price, and that's a very different team.
I look forward to seeing the Sabres beat Carey Price. You said that once.
How about Antti Niemi last night? He did not give up a goal in the shootout. Stopped Barzal, stopped Bailey, stopped he stopped five of them. That's why it got to Armia. And – oh, what did Claude Julien do? He sends his first three guys. There was Drouin, Tatar, and I don't remember who the other guy is. The fourth guy that goes in the shootout.
Domi.
He sent Domi, the first three. Who sent fourth? Who did he send fourth?
Who?
Jesperi Kotkaniemi, the young guy, 18-year-old.
Next year, what?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You're a Canadian.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So he sends a young kid, right? 18-year-old.
Coming up next, to the point, presented by Jim Stakeout right here on the Instigators.
You didn't let me finish my point.
He does that all the time.
But look at the time.
Yeah, but you know what? My point is that
we have to get.
I wish Phil would have put Dallin in the first shift of two overtime we had, and just for the fun of it,
Marty,
right?
I say this to you with much love, my friend. Quit living in the past. We'll be right back.
The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Time now for our favorite segment, one of them, Jim Stakeout, to the point. So we got that, crank that open there, fellas. There you go.
To the point.
Somebody on Twitter the other day said I should lay off the buff chickens and have a few more salads.
Why, are you putting on a few lbs? I know I am.
That is mean. That is literally mean.
Well, that's what social media is. It's a bully factory.
Yeah, like it's Jim Stakeout. We have to support Jim Stakeout. So I started working out again. I'm sore again today.
Are you working out?
Yeah.
Doesn't show.
You want to come with me? Just a couple weeks.
You
give it a couple
might
years.
Want to try a shoulder press.
You know what? You're mean today, and you're narrow-minded, and you don't look at the big picture. Like, the big picture with me is what it's going to look like next summer, not what it's looking like now. So it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Quit being so narrow-minded.
So basically what Riv is saying is stay negative until you reach your point. And then once you finally get to a point where you're satisfied.
I'm a positive guy.
You are very positive.
And
I will say that.
I sit next to Mr. Negative here.
Riv has definitely made me more negative over the years.
Why am I being negative?
Even the tone is negative.
Yeah, it is. It's defensive. It's
because defensive. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the Sabres?
About everything.
I've been very pleased with what I've seen from the Sabres. I'm a huge advocate of what they're doing here and what we've seen so far. But I will tell you this. If you want to make the playoffs, I believe that our team currently with what we have right now and what is going to continue to build throughout our season, I believe that this team honestly can make the playoffs. I do. I believe that. That being said, when you go into a building and it's one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League and you lose, I don't care if they have a superstar, all-star goaltender that's going to be a Hockey Hall of Famer.
NHL.
This segment brought to you by Ritalin. And our ADD gets the better of us on the show. We turn left hard. No flicker if you're from Canada or blinker if you're from the U.S. All right. We are I got to do a better job. Okay, what will it take for the Kings to bounce back? So they fired John Stevens, named Willie Desjardins interim head coach. My brother played for Willie Desjardins back in 1998. Unlike when Daryl Sutter was fired, Kings players were saying Stevens' dismissals on the team for not playing to their capabilities. Many were sad that they cost Stevens their job. So what will it take for the Kings to bounce back? Marty, we'll start with you. 30 seconds on the clock. This is To the Point, presented by Jim's Steakhouse.
No bouncing back with the Kings this year.
No?
No, that's not going to happen. Jonathan Quick is on the men's for a little bit. The players all have that bad body language on the ice, off the ice. It's been bad. Now, Willie Desjardins was asked about playing fast, right? And he says, playing fast is not about skating fast. It's about moving the puck fast and having good hockey IQ. And these guys have it. He's basically acknowledging that they're a slow-aging team. Like, you know, we're never going to outskate a team, but we can outmove the puck a team, and that's not going to get it done.
Well, fair enough. Riv, what will it take for the Kings to bounce back?
I agree with Marty on this. I just, listen, I mean, when you've got Ilya Kovalchuk, who's a fantastic hockey player, but he's 35, Anz Kopitar has 6 points. 6 points in 12 games. That is not going to cut it. Dustin Brown has been injured for a large part of the season. I mean, Jeff Carter's aging. They just have a really aging team right now, and I think that there just needs to be some change. There needs to be some change in the lineup.
Next topic, we're doing To the Point, presented by Jim's Steakhouse. Can Elias Pettersson carry the Canucks to the playoffs? So he had a five-point game against the Colorado Avalanche. It was a 7-6 final. That's a hockey game, ladies and gentlemen. But he had 5 points.
And the fact, his 5 points were unbelievable. He said,
Marty's going first, start the clock.
I'll go first. He said Besser on a breakaway first. Then he had that one Thomas Vanek or Henrik Sedin play where you shoot it hard off the back wall and it comes back out. It should have been icing. But Besser beats the guy to the puck, scores. He's involved in the slot area. He's everything you would hope. So yes, Elias or whatever they said, but Pettersson can put the Vancouver Canucks in a playoff discussion where we thought they were going to compete for last.
Riv, can Elias Pettersson carry the Canucks to the playoffs?
Well, I think he has the ability to certainly make the team better. You've seen that first and foremost. 9 games, he's got 9 goals and 15 points. He's a plus player, plus six. He is loaded with skills, skating, hockey IQ. Anybody that plays with him, they are going to elevate their game and they're going to be better. Yes, this kid is the real deal. And I think that if he continues to play for all 82 games, they have a chance to do something special.
Well, I know something funny about Pettersson and the Canucks is he was a fifth overall pick, right? And he was given A and B bonuses. I read an article yesterday. I think it was reporter Chris from Sportsnet that said, so usually A and B bonuses are reserved for first and second overall, maybe third overall if it's a deep draft, but nobody gets them at fifth overall. And if he wins the Calder or if he's in the top 10 of points and goals this year, one of the other, and wins an award, he could make up to $2.85 million in addition to his $900 salary.
Yeah, so Patty Kane got like $2.9 million, I think, his rookie year.
Or remember, Jack missed it by like a slim margin because he his point per games was just below the top 10 or whatever. So, there's a guy, Pettersson, who was burned the league last year as a 17-year-old or whatever in Sweden.
Yeah.
And then he comes over and they'll do the same thing and we'll make $3.5 million.
All right, last one here. More impactful extension signed over the weekend, Yanni Gourde or Pekka Rinne? So Gourde signed a 6-year extension, $5.166 million AAV, and Rinne 2 years at $5 million. So Marty, go first.
I'm going to say Rinne because I've said it for a long time now that I'm not sure that Soros in Nashville, the backup goaltender, is a potential number one goalie. He's small, and he's really good as a backup, but I don't think he could be a number one guy, and I think Nashville just acknowledged that. They give Pekka Rinne 2 years at his age, $6 million the first year, $4 million the second year. It's a very good contract for both sides, but that just tells me we still want Pekka to be our guy for a couple more years. Jussi Soros will be our backup.
Old Man River, more impactful extension signed. Is it Gourde or Rinne?
Yanni Gourde has had a really nice start to his career in Tampa Bay. Last year, he had a fantastic season with over 60 points. He is a very, very talented hockey player. Pekka Rinne, I think, for his team, he is, if you don't have goaltending in this game, you will not win. That's the bottom line. And it's interesting that Nashville, at Pekka Rinne's age, is still willing to pay him that much money.
It's not that much.
Well, he's making $6 million in his first year and $4 million in
that's
the second.
That's five average.
It's still a lot of money, I think, for a guy at his age. You know, he seems to be kind of hurt a lot.
Carter Hutton is making what? 3.5. You know, he was a backup goaltender. You give a guy $1.5 million more to be like the Vezina candidate and trophy winner that he was. I just don't think it's a lot of money for Pekka Rinne. I think it's a very, very responsible contract for both sides when I look at it. But
Craig. What? Craig? Come here. You have a fever? You're acting weird today. I'm not even joking. Like, you are.
Did I win?
I have no idea what's going on right now, but you are.
What?
You are saying some of the dumbest things I've ever. Today is not the day of Craig Rive. This is not your best work.
So let me ask you, what don't you like about me not liking to pay Pekka Rinne at 38 years old?
No, he's 35.
He's been injured every year.
Yes, he
every
has.
Year. It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Okay.
He's 36.
We're doing the buy-sell trade.
He just turned 36, November 3rd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what?
It's old for a goaltender.
But you know what it does?
All those splits that you've done all those years, your groins, your hips are shot.
It buys them time for the next 2 years to have a true number one. You have a solid number two. Figure out who your next number one is going to be. They can win with this guy. So, I mean, who else is out there? Although I'll say this, how soon until Craig Anderson wants out of Ottawa?
So what?
Yeah, okay, I don't know. I don't know, Marty.
You think I'm grumpy. This guy here has been, why instead of paying $6 million for Pekka Rinne, why can't you go in and as I would say, sign a Band-Aid for a year?
You know why?
Because they're good. They can compete. Why do you want a Band-Aid when you are a Stanley Cup?
Because you're not going to have to pay him $6 million. You'd pay him half of that.
Bargain.
Well, hold on a sec. $5 million for Pekka Rinne.
Five on average.
You keep saying six. Hutton.
You keep saying six, and then 2 years from now, I'll say, they're only paying Pekka Rinne $4 million. It's five average. It doesn't matter what you're paying the guy. It's five average.
Buy-sell trade coming up today. Craig is average. I was just trying to, spin it.
Don't hurt his feelings now. Like, I'm going to go on his side. Like,
no, this guy is like a stainless steel kitchen. You can't get inside his kitchen.
Stainless steel appliance?
Yeah.
He called you an appliance?
I called
fridge?
You an appliance. You have any reason why? Anyway, okay. We'll be right back. Buy-sell trade coming right up. Uber confessions at 11.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Revay.
All right, time now for the Buffalo Sports Twitter poll, buy, sell, trade. You can go and find it at WGR550 on social media, on Twitter, and we will vote on that as well. But I'll get Craig and Marty's thoughts here. Buy, sell, trade, as I mentioned, presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. And these guys don't need any new gear because they are on fire right now. They're probably not changing anything. Their socks or anything is superstitious. We know how superstitious athletes are. But buy, sell, trade. Skinner Eichel Pominville is a top five line in the NHL. Buy, sell, trade. Skinner Eichel Pominville is a top five line. Hold on, Marty. Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
Craig, why are you smirking? No. Why are you smirking?
Because I'm just doing a little research. I'm writing some things down. I don't know. Why are you looking at me all the time?
I look. Hey, you know how
you're
always,
starting to irritate me.
No,
right
you
now.
Know why you always say every day body language, body language, body language. So I'm reading your body language. So do your research, Marty. I'll buy, sell, trade.
I am going to sell this. Well, trade, sell. I'll sell because production wise, they have been a top five line in since they've been put together. But if I look at the impact a line has on a game and while putting together, I can name five lines that are much more dangerous and much more scarier to play against. Landeskog, MacKinnon, Rantanen is one. Tavares, Hyman, Marner is another one. I'm going to say Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand's one. Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm is one. I'm looking at like a bunch of lines now. Shifley, Wheeler, and Connors is one. Like, there's lines that I think are much more dangerous when you have the eye test. But production-wise, they've been up there, so I will put them close, but I'm not going to say top five.
Okay. Well said. Well put. Riff, Skinner, Eichel, Pominville is a top five line in the NHL buy-sell trade.
Well, the way I look at it is the reason why Andrew is even asking this question is, you know, he's talking about right now. And the reality is, Pominville, Eichel, and Skinner are ranked number two of all the lines in the National Hockey League. Right now, they are ranked number two after this week, right, Andrew? Is that why you're asking the question? So you got to put them up there. You got to give them the pat on the back, the kudos. Jack Eichel's playing absolutely fantastic. Jeff Skinner is scoring goals, which is why do we bring him in here? Because we need a guy that can score some goals.
Well,
and Jason Pominville.
Speed up front.
You know, the world of Pominville, this guy is the smartest guy on the ice. He knows where to go. He knows he's got to be in front of the net. He's defensively responsible. I mean, this line is clicking on all cylinders. And is it the prettiest line right now? No, it's not. But they're getting things done. So I have to give them the kudos. Right now in this league, yes, they've done very well. They're one of the best lines.
So that's a buy.
Buy-in, yep.
Yeah. Why so much, like, you know, do you not like the question? I'm asking you, do you like the question that do you think it's worthwhile talking about right now, the Skinner Eichel Pominville? I mean, is it?
Well, there's a reason why you're asking the question to begin with. There's a reason why, because that line right now is one of the best lines in the National Hockey League production wise. Mm-hmm. Goals for what they're creating for their team. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have Skinner, Eichel, and Pominville. We are in a world of hurt. This line has done very, very well for the Sabres. They're playing they're playing at a high level, and that's why you're asking the question, because right now when you look at the top lines in the National Hockey League, they are second right now, currently in the NHL for one of the best lines
and
in the league.
You guys have really helped me. There's actually some stats. Since they began playing together on October 20th, Jeff Skinner, 8 goals, 5 assists. Palmer, 7 goals, 6 assists. And Jack Eichel, 1 goal, 11 assists.
13 points for Skinner, 13 points, Pominville, and 12 for Eichel. So they've got, that is 26, that's 38 points.
And that's the most.
They've been put together.
Since they've been put together, that's the most of any line since they've been put together.
So I'm going to make this a true buy-sell trade. Riv bought it, Marty sells, and I'm going to trade it. Right now, yes, they are producing like a top five in the NHL. But once these other teams get rolling, I feel like, you know, there will be some other top lines that, you know, like you look at some of the lines that you guys are.
So you're
mentioned.
Trading this. So you're basically going to skew the question. Are you talking about right now?
That's
or are you
an
talking
option.
About
That's
in,
an option.
In the league?
It's a buy, a sell, or a trade.
I know. Listen, I know
catching.
You are in defense mode and you are looking for a way to bury me right now because I've been all over you today, like white on rice, big boy. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be very cautious of my wording.
Great job,
from here
Humpty
on
Dumpty.
Out for the rest of the show.
You trade this and sit on the fence.
I am going to sit right on the fence right here. You know why I can sit on the fence? You know why? Because we're going to break, as JJ said, stand by break. So I trade it. What? What
is there's it? A nice picture of Matt Duchesne and Martin Raymond at center ice at practice today.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that when we come back.
That's our conversation at 11, Uber confessions and what's going on in Ottawa. How should these guys proceed and how should the team proceed with them? And the sports update right here. Instigators, hour number two, coming right up.